What's the relationship between preventing milk to children with fighting Hamas? I have three sisters, five brothers. They have children. All of them become homeless without water, without electricity, with sewage everywhere. We are shocked when Trump said, we want Gaza to be displaced. What's going on in Gaza, the Israeli war? It was described by a credible international organization to be close to genocide.
It took a lot of time to really talk about the atrocities being committed by the Israeli government. And then when it comes to Israel media as well, the use of genocidal language, the humanizing of Palestinians.
Your government, some of your government continue to give Israel weapons. Some of your government provide Israel unconditional support. Conditional support for killing the children. The problem didn't start on the 7th of October. What about 6th of October? What about 5th of October? We don't want you to be pro-Palestine. We want you to be pro-reality, to be pro-truth, and to be pro-justice and fair. Two-state solution in a different modality can still happen, and it can be one of the best or most prosperous places on the globe. So give the peace chance.
Hello everyone and welcome to today's FEPS Talk. We have with us today Omar Shaban. He's an expert and academic and founder of the Gaza think tank, Paul Think for Strategic Studies. Welcome, Omar.
Thank you very much for hosting me. It's my pleasure.
We have seen 19 months of constant bombardment in Gaza by the Israeli forces. Tens of thousands of people have been killed, most of them children and women. We have seen a collective punishment of the population and assault on dignity. Over 80% of Gaza has been destroyed, it's a land rubble, and the United Nations has reported that 80% of Gaza population has been displaced multiple times. We have also seen a weaponization of humanitarian aid with the latest blockade of Israel, as well as the establishment of the Gaza Humanitarian Fund that clearly does not respect the humanitarian principles. So given this terrible situation, we wanted to know what's your assessment on the current humanitarian state in Gaza.
First of all, thank you very much for hosting me and inviting me to speak about what's going on in Gaza. Yeah. And we have no other way apart from keeping dialogue and talking to other people, other nation, because we believe in dialogue and our cause is legal, is legitimate, and we believe that we need to talk to not only to end the war, but to help in solving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that has been there for the last 80 years. What has been going in Gaza, it was described by many international organizations, by Western government, to be the most bloody, the most difficult, the most catastrophic war happens in the recent years, maybe in the 20th century. As you said, two-thirds, 80% of the Gaza population have been displaced. They were forced to move to other area. Now, all the 2 million Palestinians who live in Gaza were squeezed in less than 30% of the Gaza area. People don't know that Gaza is too small. Yes, it is in the TV all the time, and it sometimes it occupies significant coverage by the media, but you should know that Gaza is too small. It's 362 kilometers square. It's 200 miles, inhabited by 2.2 million people. It's one of the highest populated area on the globe. And Gaza has been under Israel blockade since 2007. And Gaza has been subjected to 16 escalation since that time. 16 escalation. Five of them were major wars. 2008, 2009, 2012, 2021, 2014, 2021, 2022, 2023 in May, and the ongoing catastrophe. What's going on in Gaza, the Israeli war? It was described by a credible international organization to be close to genocide. It's not the Palestinian who saved this, it's you who saved this. It's credible organizations like ICRC, like Criminal Court, ICC, describe what's going on in Gaza to be genocide. We as a Palestinian support peace. We believe in two-state solution. We signed Oslo agreement that started in Madrid peace conference in 1990. And we believe that we Palestinian can live side and side in peace and prosperity with Israel. However, Gaza has been put under siege since 2007. Gaza was declared by Israel as a hostile entity. Gaza has been, as I said, subjected to 17 escalation. The other socio-economic data are very disturbing. 62% of the Gaza population are young people. 700,000 people of the Gaza were born under the siege. Many people forget that. 700,000, almost 37% of the Gaza population were born under the siege. And another 700,000 people, around 37% of the population, become adult under siege. So they were born in the late 2000, in the 90s, and they become adult under the siege. So you talk about two-thirds or more than two-thirds of the community either born or become adult under siege. They never been outside. They don't know how the Europe looks like. And they continue to believe in peace. What you hear about Gaza is not the reality of Gaza. Gaza, I will close here. Gaza is one of the oldest city on the globe. Gaza is part of Palestinian Holy Land. We have three churches in Gaza. One of them is 1400 years old. Gaza was a place where visited by Napoleon, by Muhammad Ali. Gaza is in the bridge between Asia, Africa, and Europe. Gaza is the heart of the heart of the heart of the world. What's happening in Gaza is a catastrophe. It's not against the present, it's against the future. What I say all the time, what has been happening, it wouldn't make Israel more secure. It wouldn't make Middle East much better. The other way, it creates the enemy over the future. I lost part of my families. I lost my brother. I lost my family house. I am in Cairo. I exit Gaza mid of October 2023, but I still have three sisters, five brothers, and so many friends and so many relatives in the Gaza Strip.
Well, you have mentioned, I think, many points on this horrific situation, and maybe I would like to dig into what you were mentioning about the future, about the children. We've seen like 30% of civilian kills have been children. Many of them are orphans. Many of them have been amputated and are emotionally, physically shattered. So what does that mean for the future of children and youth in Gaza, given this such a young population?
Thank you very much again. And I don't want to go to the statistics because you can read it. But 20,000 orphans, 20,000 who lost their parents in Gaza. According to the World Health Program, there are 86,000 amputated children, children who lost one of their legs or hands. 86,000. And it was considered to be the largest number of children in such a small place in recent history. My question to all, even to the Israeli people, or even to Israeli leadership, what do you expect these people to be in the future? What do you expect an orphan who lost their parents in front of their eyes, who has been not able to go to the school for 2 years, 500,000 students in Gaza? You know, we are a society who believe in education. 500 students in all school level have lost 2 years of education. And education for us is a major asset for our nationality, for our dignity, because we have nothing else. We don't have oil, we don't have petrol, we don't have gas, we have education. And it's well known that the Palestinian is one of the most highly educated people on the globe, like any other civilized society. We believe in education. We are everywhere. There are 7 million Palestinians inside, and there are 7 million Palestinians outside. They are everywhere, from Australia to Spain to Belgium to Chile to Argentina, everywhere. And these Palestinians are educated, are rich, and they are part. They contribute positively to their community where they live, either in Europe or they live in America. So what I wanted to say that if the war must stop now, and we need to make a huge effort to bring these people to normality. I will tell you my own stories. I have 3 sisters, 5 brothers. All of them, they are married, they have children, all of them become homeless. Even my older brother, who's 67 years old, had nothing to do with 7 of October, with Hamas, with other, has no house. He's not young to start again. My 3 sisters, who have also married, who have children, they become homeless. They live in tenants. Can you imagine? One day before the war, you were living in a nice house. The other day, you find yourself in tenant without water, without electricity, with sewage everywhere, with diseases everywhere. And we are working in a paper that the impact of the war in women. There is no accessories for women. There is no accessories. There is no medicine for children. What's the relationship between preventing milk for dairy to children with fighting Hamas or with fighting your enemy? What is the relation between 20,000 orphans who became orphans? They were living in nice houses, good school. Gaza used to be a very civilized Mediterranean city. If you Google and go back to Gaza before, and you will see Gaza like vibrant city. It was inhabited by 700,000 population in Gaza city itself. Many international were coming to Gaza, staying over in general time. We are Mediterranean city. We have everything like any other European Mediterranean city. So we need to stop the war now, and we should not allow this government in Israel to continue with their own war, with their own war. What we know, what we read, that the majority of the Israeli, they know that this war is Netanyahu war. He wants to maintain himself in power. Of course, they have excuse to do it by fighting Hamas. I can say, not only me, many people said Netanyahu was using Hamas as excuse to displace us, to send us to somewhere, to Somalia, to Indonesia, to Europe. No, we are Palestinian. We love our country. We want to stay there. I never left Gaza apart from traveling for 1 week to Spain or to Belgium and come back. I love Gaza. I want to be there. I'm Palestinian. And many, many thousands of Palestinians who used to live in Gaza, they want to stay in Gaza. So my theory that has been said by many people, the ongoing genocidic war against the Palestinian people wouldn't bring peace, not only to the Israelis, but also to the Middle East. And if you can look at what the geopolitics in the Middle East, since the eruption of this war in the 7th of October, there were many changes happening here and there. We have a war in Yemen. We have war in Lebanon. We have another war in Syria. There is a war in Ukraine. Things getting worse everywhere. So we need to spend some extra effort in bringing peace. And easy, I believe making peace is very close and very possible, and it's much easier than the war itself.
And I wonder, like you mentioned, the role of the media as well, and the fact that sometimes, I mean, the media has not well portrayed what was happening in Gaza, especially in Western media. It took a lot of time to really talk about the atrocities being committed by the Israeli government, saying Palestinians have been killed, not mentioning by who. And so we've seen this silence as well. And then when it comes to Israel media as well, the use of genocidal language, the humanizing of Palestinians. So I wanted to have your view on the role that you think this type of media has played in the current situation.
Unfortunately, we have been taken hostages by the Western perspective to what's going on. People need to understand that the problem didn't start on the 7th of October. What about 6th of October? What about 5th of October? I am 60 years old. I live in Gaza all my life. There was a siege. I was able to travel because I'm old. But two-thirds of the Gaza community who are under 30 years old have never been outside. Two-thirds of those who are under 30 years old have never been outside. Because Israel occupy Gaza, prevent Gaza to travel, put siege on Gaza. Whoever want to leave Gaza, he has to take a permit. And Israel, when they impose the siege on Gaza, on the excuse that Hamas take Gaza over, that take Gaza forcibly after a fight between Palestinian Authority and Hamas, we fully understand. We fully understand. We might not accept, but we fully understand there is an enmity between Israel and Hamas. But people were taking hostages in the middle of the fight. This is the problem. This is the problem. This is that the people need to understand. The children of Gaza are not to be blamed at all. They were too young. They did not vote against anybody. They did not support. What happened the 7th of October? It was part of the problem. It was part of the problem. There was a siege for the past 17 years. There was no election. There was no food. There was not enough jobs. There was not enough travel. There were not access to travel to many students. There are so many students in Gaza who lost their scholarship in Europe. There are many patient and cancer women. If you remember, I spoke about it. There were 3,000 women patient with cancer. They were not able to go to Jerusalem or to West Bank or to Jordan or to Egypt to get medical treatment because our hospital in Gaza has been downgraded by the siege. So many, many people, especially women, have lost their life due to lack of medical treatment. So the problem did not start on the 7th of October. There was an occupation. There was a siege. The Israeli did not recognize the Palestinian state, did not work to implement what was we agreed between the PLO, the Palestinian Leadership Organization, and the government of Israel in 1993 and 1994, and based on that in the Madrid conference in 1990, to allow Palestinian state to happen. Israel said no Palestinian state, and they continue to settlement and demolition in the West Bank. So the problem is not in the Gaza. You look in the West Bank. 50,000 of Palestinians in the north part of the West Bank have been displaced because this government, Smotrich and Beir and Netanyahu, they believe in transformation, in transition, the Palestinian move, taking the Palestinian from West Bank even to Jordan. And they have mentioned this many, many, many times. So the problem is not only in Gaza, but in the West Bank.
You mentioned as well the fact that we have been like this, the idea of like the ICG advisory opinion on Israeli settlement as illegal, as well as the Israelis committing an apartheid. We have also seen the ICJ case, South Africa versus Israel as well. And then all these organizations, humanitarian organizations that have been claiming, like Amnesty International, the ICRC, that what Israel is committing is a genocide and an apartheid. However, we don't see enough action by the international community. So I wanted to know what's, as a Gazan, what's your perception of the international community and how do Gazan feel about this?
It's one of the most, not the most, but one among the most important things. Palestinians have been under killing, starvation. My family in Gaza don't find food. I can tell you, I am in contact with my sister, my brother, my friends. They don't have food. They don't have milk. They don't have clothes. They don't have medicine. We cry because this happens in 24 hours for the past 600 days. Since the broke of the ceasefire on the 19th of March till now, Very few of aid was allowed into Gaza. And this was said by head of UNRWA Lazzarini, by other international organizations, by OCHA. Everybody said what's happening in Gaza, it's pushing people to death by starvation. Now, we lost the faith. Where is the international community? What has happening is in the TV. You cannot claim in Europe that we don't know. You cannot claim in America that we don't see. No, you see. You see it, you hear about it, you read about it. What do you expect from the Palestinian to do more? This is why I said this very important, because this kind of lack of action push people to more radicalization. And I can tell you, and I want to be frank, not just my nature, I'm frank with you. When I'm in Brussels or in Berlin or everywhere, I speak with you. There are many bad people in Europe who use our excuse in for their own purposes. Some of Bin Laden, when he went September 11, he said this on behalf of the Palestinian. Don't give the bad people to excuse to do the bad thing, because the good ones are not doing their job. So if you don't do the good ones, you give opportunity for the bad people. I've said this, some of the explosion in Manchester or in Madrid or in Belgium, a couple of years ago, in back of lack of supporting of the Palestinian cause. So when Europe don't act, I'm very afraid about the growing radicalization, growing about right wing, growing about Islamization, anti-Islamophobia. We need to do something. We need to stop this. Please, we need to stop this. Of course, because this is what happening is against the international law. Killing people is against the international law. Killing children is against the international law. Preventing water and health and food from entering to the hospital. Today, Israel start to destroy what remains from the European hospital in Gaza. European hospital is a hospital that was built the European money some 20 years ago. It is the only hospital in the south of Gaza that serves tens of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians. So where people can go? The only hospital. And sometimes it's used a bad excuse. So we want you to know the reality. We want you to do action. We appreciate very much the protest in Europe, in Brussels, in Belgium, in Madrid, in France. But we need to influence your government. Your government, some of your government continue to give Israel weapons. Some of your government provide Israel unconditional support. Conditional support for killing the children and killing. I lost my two nephews. I lost my two nephews from my brother and two nephews of my sister. Both of them, they were under 18 years old. 18 years old. They were playing football and a rocket came there and indirectly. Yes, indirectly. They were not targeted because they are innocent. But at the end of the day, we lost them. So there is no reason at all for what has been happening. So we appreciate some of your effort. We appreciate some statement here and there. But we need more action. And Israel should not be allowed at all to continue with this. I will tell you last thing. Thomas Friedman, the American, the Jewish journalist, he wrote an article in New York Times 2 weeks ago. He said to Trump, this government in Israel is not our allies. Israel is our allies. So he make a difference between the government of Israel and Israel itself. So even what I wanted to say, this government does not work for the benefit of Israel, does not work for the stability of the Middle East, does not work for the two-state solution. So we need to stop this crazy government in Israel to continue with their agenda.
You mentioned some European countries as well, like Europe and the UK has historical responsibility on Palestine. What concrete actions do you think the European governance should take, and also the European Union? In the past few weeks, we've seen a small shift when it comes to condemning the mass killings of Palestinians and the blockade of humanitarian aid. But what concrete actions should need to be taken by the European state?
We don't want Europeans to fight with Israel. I say this every time. But we want Europe to practice the minimum of what they believe, what their values is. They see the killing of the innocent people in the front of eyes. They need to talk to Israel harshly. Yes, the position of Europe and some certain countries, even UK, who have historical responsibility of what's going on, they become more assertive and more tough. But it's not enough. They need to send ultimatum to Israel. You must stop this. We know there's a hostage in Gaza, but 20 hostages in Gaza with 2 million and managed 2 million hostage, another hostage, civilian hostages. You cannot kill the 2 million, pushing them to starvation. On the back, 20 hostages, many of the Palestinian there, many, the majority of the Palestinians against this, against what happened. They went into protest under the war, demanding Hamas to release the hostages and to stop the war. There were many, many. So the Palestinians are, the majority of the Palestinians are innocent. Now, Israel is using, said, no innocent in Gaza. Come on, how you can say about 2 million Palestinians in Gaza, no innocent? How can? There are many children of them. Women have nothing to do with what happened. So why you put them in the conflict? So international community have to stand with its principle. The international media need to know the reality. I don't want them to support us, no. I want them to know what the reality and to broadcast it clearly. We don't want you to be pro-Palestine, as I said all the time. We want you to be pro-reality, to be pro-truth, and to be pro-justice and fair, and to be pro-the international law, the humanitarian international law. And you can see, okay, if the Palestinian made a mistake, we agree. There is no full community innocent. But what has been happening, it's clear, it was said by international organization that has a lot of credibility that this is genocidic war must be stopped.
And thinking beyond the horrific situation today and thinking about whether the two-state solution is still a viable solution.
If you look at the rate in the West Bank, there are 700,000 Israeli settlers in the West Bank. When Oslo Agreement was signed, the settler in West Bank, settler in West Bank means that Israeli Jewish settlers moved to settle down on the Palestinian land. This is what the settler, for those who don't understand the terminology. And confiscating Palestinian land, preventing farmers to go to farm their land, preventing children to go to their school. There are some cities, some villages in the West Bank that are surrounded by walls. Children to the school, they live here, and their school is the other way. And the Israeli soldier and the settler give them at 8 o'clock from 8 to 9 to go to the school, and from 2 to 3 to come back to the school. I don't want to compare this what has been happening in Europe in the Second World War. But this is close to, this is collective punishment. This is like detention of a community. So the two-state solution is the only way. Otherwise, we will go to the one-state solution. Yes, there are some certain problems here and there, but there is nothing impossible. We can look about different type of modality to go on. And Israel and Palestine, the place is too small to be divided. So we proposed, myself and many others, political analysts, proposed some sort of ideas. Look to Europe. There are 27 EU countries. There is no border. You have 27 political system within a large space like the EU. We can do the same. We can do Israel, Palestine, within one system. I proposed an idea. I said two-state, two political system in one land. Because the water, the aviation, the sewage, the everything are very well connected. And the trade, 90% of the Gaza, of the Palestinian import in the West Bank and Gaza comes from Israel. And 80% of the Israel, Palestinian export go to Israel. There are 200,000 Palestinians from the West Bank work in Israel. There were 100,000 Palestinians from Gaza before we use working in Israel. And there's a lot of business partnership. I don't want you to be taken hostages by the conflict. There were so many positive, good examples where the Palestinians and Israel were working together. Yes, we were enemies. They were occupying us. But we were smart enough to know that we have no other way from cooperating with each other. So there is a solid ground where we can build on that. But unfortunately, in the past 20 years, both nations were taken hostage by hate, by killing, by death. Let's stop this and look at the future. And there are so many ideas where we can make Gaza, Palestine, Israel to be one of the best prosperous places in the globe. We have gas in the Mediterranean. We have entrepreneurship people. We have good education, good civil society. We have so many Palestinians outside who are very rich. And they want to come back to Palestine and to contribute. There are many Palestinians who left. I don't want to move from one area to another, but what I wanted to say, two-state solution in a different modality can still happen. And it can be one of the best or most prosperous places on the globe. We have so many Palestinians, Chile, Honduras, Indonesia, Salvador, who left Palestine in 1920, and they are rich and they want to come back, not to live in Palestine, but to help their children and to build hospitals, to build factories. Look, the funny thing, we are very similar to the Jews before they came to Palestine. The Jews, they were in diaspora, they came to Palestine. Now we are in diaspora, we should come back to Palestine.
Could you explain us a little bit more about the political realities in Palestine, the support that there is for Hamas, for the Palestinian Authority and other political actors, and how do future elections could look like?
That's very important question. This war in Gaza has created a new reality. According to the different poll, where I can share it with you, the majority of the Palestinians fed up with the Palestinian traditional system. The last election happened in Palestine for the presidency and for the parliament, it was in 2005. All the Palestinian political system are expired. Unfortunately, Israel did not allow the Palestinian election to happen in 2021. Because Israel did not allow the election to happen. East Jerusalem, according to the Oslo Agreement, is part of the Palestinian territories, and it should be the capital of Palestine. West Jerusalem is for Israel, East Jerusalem is Palestinian. There are 400,000 Palestinians live in East Jerusalem, they are Jerusalemite, and they have the right to vote for the Palestinian parliament. So we need to go for election, and the international community, which they did some pressure before the EU and some certain country, to make election. So the future is bright and we can make it brighter. The Palestinians are looking for a new type of leadership. I was a candidate myself when I was 32 years old in 1996. I was born in Gaza. I wanted to be part of building my better future. So I went a candidate. I was too young to win, which is okay. I like that. But the Palestinians want to vote for their own leadership. The last poll that issued released in two weeks, Hamas got 5%, and Fatah got 15%. More than 40% of the Palestinian West Bank and in Gaza want to go for a new type of leadership. I will close here. In May 2021, there was election was supposed to happen on the 31st of May 2020. It was canceled, it was postponed 1 week before. There were 36 candidate lists. 26 of these candidate lists were composed and led by young people who were not well known, who were not politicians. 26 out of 36 young people. Some of these young people were trained by Palthing because we work a lot with young people. So young people are smart, are educated, they speak different languages, they are in contact with Europe, they are in contact with America. Some of them graduate from different universities, and they know that this leadership is unable to take us to the future. But give us the chance. There was a siege. There was no connection between Gaza and the West Bank. Very few people, 1% of the Gazans were able to go to the West Bank. Only the patient people and the business people. And less than that, from the West Banker were able to come to Gaza because Israel is separate and didn't want us to go. I was able to travel, as I said, because I was young, I was old. So the international community should come up with a package. Stop the war now, make election in 2 years. April 27, this is what I put in my proposal. So we give Gaza people some time to recover and to go back, and give people time to go and to prepare themselves for election. And Palestinian side, outside Palestine, should be allowed to come in, because we need new blood. We have so many good people in universities, doctors in America, Spain, Argentina, everywhere, should come back and should be part of building our future. And this will go for the benefit of everybody. And then Palestine will be able to be self-reliance financially. The EU, provide Palestinian with 400 million euro a year. Our government, Palestinian government, signed an agreement in Brussels 3 weeks ago with $1.6 billion, which is around 1.4 billion euro for the coming 3 years. So the EU has been generous with us. with the Palestinian, supporting UNRWA, supporting Palestinian refugee in Gaza, West Bank, and in Lebanon. So, peace, the last, I will close here. There was many studies prove that if the Israel and the Palestinian make peace, the Israeli economy will be tripled. The Israeli economy is one of the biggest in the Middle East. It's $300-400 billion. It will be tripled because the cost of war will be transferred to be building for peace. And the Palestinian economy not will be tripled. It will be doubled by five times because instead of investing our effort in reconstructing what Gaza, what Israel was destroyed, will be building for the future. And many of the Palestinians in the Gulf and everywhere will come to Palestine with their own money. So give the peace chance. What I said all the time, my dear, is we have to try all the bad tools, war, closure, killing, destruction, demolition. What about trying the good ones once? Give it time. Give peace 5 years. But we want EU and we want America to be involved, not to bring luck. We are shocked when Trump said we want Gaza to be displaced. Come on. This is against the international law. How come you are as a superpower, as a president, who don't believe in democracy, should believe in human rights, want us to go? To go where? We need to stay in our country, and we welcome any effort from American administration or any other countries to rebuild Gaza. But they need to build Gaza with us and for us, and for everybody, of course.
Thank you very much, Omar. I think you've been very, very clear. Thank you for sharing your personal stories as well. We wanted to show also solidarity for your family and for the people in Gaza as well. And then we hope that this podcast also helps to make sure that everyone understands what's happening and putting pressure on the governments to change the situation. So thank you very much.
We appreciate very much. We believe in dialogue, and we are angry. We are upset. I'm coming to Brussels in 2 weeks. I'm coming to Berlin in September. We express our anger and the frustration, but we believe in you and we believe in dialogue and we are neighbors. And we should look at the opportunity where the opportunity lies there. Thank you very much. It was my great pleasure to be talking to you. And thank you to you for giving me this opportunity to talk with your audience with all respect from my heart. Don't worry, we will never give up. We will continue to fight peacefully for our right and for the other people's right.
Thank you very much, Mark.